Mark chapter 16 and verse number 17. Last words of Jesus, and he says this: these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents or have power over the enemy. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And that means to not only what we're talking about drinking, but anything that comes into your mind that you absorb, it's not going to hurt us. Where some people, once they hear things, they can't get them out of their mind. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. And then Acts, the 5th chapter. Everything was going so fine in the church. People were coming in and there were great miracles happening. And then Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Ghost, and immediately things stopped. No miracles, no signs, no wonders, because just two people decided, I'm not going to tell the truth, and they both died. I talked a couple of weeks about spiritual suicide. But then in verse number 12, right after that, right after these two were carried out, it says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. The church came back together in one accord. I'm telling you, it's a powerful thing for everybody to be on the same page in unity. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities around about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, everyone. James, the 5th chapter. James chapter 5, starting in verse number 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elder of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual or active fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth, or is forthful, availeth much. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word of God this evening. God, that great things would happen because of it. You're a great God. We've been in your presence all day today. And God, now we're asking for a special anointing upon your word. And Lord, that you would confirm with signs and wonders, miracles, as you have so many times before. It's all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. My intention is to build your faith to the point where we can receive something greater than what we even anticipate. And sometimes that happens through testimonies. John Fitch is sitting there, shouldn't be sitting there. How many years ago was it? How many? 13 years ago, pronounced dead. We came to his apartment. Paramedic said, well, doesn't have a pulse. He's a straight line. 20 minutes, he wasn't breathing, but then God brought him back. And he's a living miracle. Now he teaches in the prison. He has been so instrumental in so many things. And God knew that, but their prayer of the faith brought him back, even with paramedics saying, Pastor, it's too late. He's gone. I saw the look on their face when they said it. Brother Wayno, would you come up here a minute? Brother Wayno has a unique testimony, and I mentioned it last week, Sunday, I think it was, that I mentioned that somebody's going to have a good report this week, and I just want to let him, in his own words, tell you. If Mr. Skinny would come up here.
Praise the Lord, church. I was doing pretty good till now, but you know, it started back where we have a mandatory physical every year for the insurance. And the doctor felt my heartbeat and didn't like it. Pulse was funny. So they went through all these tests and I was in AFib. My heart wasn't regular. And when it's not regular, they're concerned about strokes and stuff like that. So I went through all their stuff, and twice last year went through cardioversion, where they put stickers on you and they shock you. And so that didn't work. So last summer they said something. I said, well, can we wait? Because I need to work right now, because something about money helps pay their bills. And so the next thing they want to do is ablation, where they want to go in there and fry your nerves on the heart. Well, in my knowledge, that didn't sound like a very good thing. And so I was a little bit concerned about it. And so towards the end of the year, I had an appointment at the end of January. And a couple weeks before that, or whatever, you know, I'm not exactly sure, but I didn't want to have it done. And I said, God, help, you know. And I didn't go through a long prayer of, you know, all I'd done for you, because he would have told me what I didn't do. But and so, you know, I just said, I need help, you know. And probably about a week and a half before I had to go in, my wife felt my pulse and said, feels normal. I said, good. Then I right there and then I claimed it in Jesus' name that it was fine. And then Pastor mentioned Sunday night about someone going in and getting a good result, and right there confirmed what I felt. And so I went in, and as watching the machine, it looked like it was regular before I seen it before. It wasn't. And I thought, oh, that it's good. Doctor comes in and says, well, you're in regular rhythm. I must have did something good. I said, no, the Lord healed me. He says, Lord, I don't get no credit. I said, but I thank Jesus for what he's done. I mean, I couldn't have fixed it, but thank you, Lord.
Glory to God, glory to God. Amen. Now, we could spend all night with having people come up here and testify about what God has done for them, how God has healed them. There's a great faith that comes by hearing testimonies of what God has done. And sometimes God takes care of one thing, but perhaps he doesn't take care of another thing. And it's not because of lack of faith, but sometimes God knows exactly what we need and what we don't need in order to stay in the church. I remember a couple years before my daughter got married, she was diagnosed with lupus, and there's no cure for lupus, and we found the best autoimmune doctor in the state, I think it was Dr. Goldberg, and had her go in for tests, and then I took her in for the results. And I remember being in that doctor's office expecting the worst, and the doctor came in and said, well, what we found is unremarkable. And I said, so what does that mean? You know, why not use English? Said, well, in 30 years, I've never had a lupus patient who was cured, but there is no lupus. Now, God can only do these things. Now, has she been perfectly well since then? No. But, you know, God can do anything. He can. I'd like you to turn to Matthew, the 9th chapter. Matthew 9 and verse number 18. It says, while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead. Now, think about this. His daughter's dead, and the first thing he does is he comes to Jesus and worships him. Now, that's got to impress our God. Not angry, why didn't you do this? Why did you allow this to happen? But came and worshiped him. But come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Exhibiting great faith and belief that my God, I'm worshiping you, God, and even though the most precious thing in my life is not here, I'm going to worship you, and I know that you can bring her back. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. So he's on his way, and he's bothered by somebody else. For she said within herself, if I may touch, but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maiden arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all of the land. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightway charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all of that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all of the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now, my God is just as real today as he was back then. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. His power and his healing and his mercy has not diminished in the last 2,000 years. If anything, it has increased in the earth. God has been telling us for the last few weeks that we will be seeing great miracles in 2015. He said it more than once, and I believe it. I believe it with all of my heart. So how do we get to the place? What is protocol or the rules of conduct? Where is it that we need to go in order to see what God has already promised? Where we can experience the miracles that God said he is going to wrought in this place? Well, most of it is wrapped up in this ninth chapter of Matthew. There are different approaches here, but all saw their miracle. One simply asked, God, please raise my daughter. Another reached forth and touched, didn't say a word, and got the miracle. And then there was somebody else who was crying after, and they got their miracle. So it isn't a matter of what your approach is. It's not a matter of your mannerism. It's about something else that was key to the healings with all of these. There were four different scenarios here in Matthew 9. Jairus comes boldly because his daughter died, believing if Jesus laid hands on her, she would live. Church, we don't like to have needs. We don't like to be put in a situation where we're not controlling everything. But it is in those very needs that makes us dependent upon God and causes us to search out God, to pray more, fast more, read more, get to the house of God more. The needs of a dying child drew him to Jesus. Would he have come if there were no needs? Even as Pentecostals, we have trouble differentiating two words. And the words are these: faith and belief. What's the difference? Hebrews 11 and 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must first believe that he is. So what is it? Is it the faith or is it the belief that makes the difference? So which is more important in order to receive my miracle? Scriptures say that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we can't get faith simply by reading. We can't get faith simply by praying to God, but we need to hear. We heard testimonies tonight. And it does build our faith. When we see God doing something else in somebody else's life, or we see somebody rejoicing because something happened in their life, it increases our faith. The problem is that most times when the word faith is used, it is a noun and not a verb or an action word. It's something that is, but it isn't something that does. You see, we can have faith that is an object and not an action, and I can have great faith in my life and never see a prayer answered. Do I believe what this word says? Do I believe what we just read? Absolutely. But it's not enough just to believe of what we heard. There has to be some kind of action required in order to see the experience happen in our lives. And that's the major problem in people's lives in the church. We believe it, and we're waiting for God to drop it on us when he's saying, no, it's not just a matter of knowledge. It's not just a matter of fact. It's a matter of, have you embraced it? Have you done something? Have you come to worship me in your worst problem? Have you reached out to touch me in your worst dilemma? Have you cried out? Did Jesus' disciples have faith? Of course they did, but it was like a tool in their belt, but they never used it. Right. We're armed with faith. We're armed with knowledge. We have all of this information that we get week after week. We have it. But the real question is, what have you done with it? Right. You see. Turn to Mark, the ninth chapter, if you would. I'm hoping and believing that during this message, someone is going to get to the level where they're going to take some of this information and actually act on it. Mark chapter 9 and verse number 17. Says, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Now, back in the 10th chapter of Matthew, God gives him all of the power in order to have dominion over all diseases. So they have the information, they have the instructions. God has told them what they can do, but it just didn't happen. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit teareth him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into waters and destroyed him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. See, the doubt is the disciples couldn't do it, so how can you do it? Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, he didn't say, if you can have faith, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. You know, that's the request that we should have here tonight. God, I believe, but would you help my unbelief? Would you remove any doubt that I have tonight that you can do the miraculous? When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said he was dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. What did Jesus say in verse 23? If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Not just once. That ETH means to continually believe. I believe you can do it. Have you as a father ever had your son or your daughter say, Dad, I think you can do it. I just, you know, what does that make you want to do? I'm going to do it. At least I'm going to give it my best effort. We may not be qualified, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to tear up everything I can in order to help them, you know. And when we come to God and say, you know, I believe you can do it, God. I believe it. Faith and believing are not interchangeable. Active faith is true believing. Faith is, are you ready? Faith is believing God and acting upon that belief. So if you believe he's going to do it, then you got to have some kind of corresponding action. We, as Pentecostals, have seen moves of God that are great. But sometimes when we have needs, we're waiting for God to drop on us, take care of our problem, without us actually doing anything. It's being persuaded and convinced beyond doubt that God's word is true, even if I don't understand it, even if nobody else believes it, even if the doctor says it's hopeless, even if Your own friends and relatives don't believe it. I believe God. Jesus said in John 14 and 12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Now, it's hard for me to comprehend that we're going to do greater works than what Jesus did. But he wouldn't say it if it couldn't be. He wouldn't tell us if it wasn't open to us. That's not just Pentecostal jargon. And we get to these places where we just recite things that we've heard, you know, that we repeat and get frustrated because nothing happened. But God can heal you, and then we walk away and nothing happens. And after we do that 10 or 15 times, we don't even believe it anymore. We just repeat the words. 95% of the time, the word believe is used in the New Testament. It's used as a verb, a word of action, not something that just pronounces knowledge. It is so easy for us to set a limit on God because of what we didn't experience the last time we said that we had faith. I've got faith to believe it. It didn't happen. And now we get to the place where our faith is completely diminished because we didn't receive what we said we had faith for in the first place. But perhaps we didn't put our faith into some kind of action, some kind of verb that says, okay, I'm going to go through. That's why evangelists so many times have greater success because they go from one service to another service and they live on the actions of what happened in one congregation, knowing that if God did it here, God's going to do it there. And that's why denominational churches just don't believe what we have, because their faith never steps out into action. We read the stories and we talk about how things happened long ago. If we set a ceiling on what God will do for us, then it'll be impossible for God to perform the miracles that we're asking him to do. You see, what we have a tendency to do is set a limit on God based on what our experience has been in the past. You know, we're expecting that God's going to do something really great at least one time a year. Right. And if that is the case, then we're thinking, okay, you know, we're this year, we're going to see a great miracle. But God doesn't have any kind of limit on it. We don't handcuff God. We say, okay, here's the opportunity for us to see all of them healed. And we get disappointed and we start to you know, analyze our lives. Why hasn't God done it? Must be because my life isn't right. And I understand that, you know, there's different purposes and reasons for things happening to us. And God is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. And there have been times where I wish God would have done things differently than what I asked for. But all things do work together for good, according to his purpose. It's what we believe God is and what God will do at any moment that opens the doors, and that is faith in action, believing that I believe, if somebody can believe before this night is over, that if I walk to this altar and believe that God is going to do it, I know that there's going to be some miraculous things that'll happen here tonight. Brother Portman preached a message a couple of months ago, and it's so easy to believe for what God did in the past and what God is going to do in the future. But the hardest belief is for what is God going to do right now? And when we get to the place where we let God off the hook, I don't mean that disrespectfully, but we're saying, I know you can do it for me tomorrow or next week. I know when that evangelist comes on the 20th of March, that's when it's going to happen. When God's saying, really? You know? Remember when Moses came to Pharaoh And he said, you know, I can take care of this frog situation for you. And he said, let me have a day to think about it. I preached that message one more night with the frogs. Why? Because he didn't say, yeah, take care of them right now. It costs us more, but I am glad that we have a high ceiling in our church and high expectation. Either we believe the words of God, or this is just lip service and frustrating us and God because we aren't acting like the first church. Amen. I don't say any of this in order to, disrespect anybody or say you don't have enough faith to believe. I would love to be able to see every person have everything taken care of tonight. But do we believe what we read? I don't like to say this, but there are some of our own churches that just don't pray for the sick anymore. They just don't believe in demonstrative worship. They don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I don't say that judging, it's just the truth. Because we receive what we hear. We get what we preach. If we don't preach it, we're not going to receive it, you see. But God can only do for us what we let him do, and that's why I'm preaching this message. I want someone to put their faith into some kind of action, not tomorrow, not next week, Sunday, but tonight. I don't have to shake a bunch of heads. I don't have to scream in anybody's ears. All we have to do is have a little bit of faith that we want to put in action, believing that God's going to do it. And then we will see the miracles. Take a look at Mark, the second chapter. Mark chapter 2, starting in verse number 1, says, again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive him, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. So they get to the house. The house is completely packed. There is no room to get in there. They can't get the stretcher in there. So one of the brothers must have had this incredible idea. Let's climb up on the roof. Let's tear the roof off. We'll fix it later if we have to. We'll tear the roof off. And then right in the middle of the house, we're going to let that stretcher down. And surely Jesus will see him, touch him, and he'll be healed. The next scripture says in verse number 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven. How do you see somebody's faith? You see somebody's faith by the action that they take. And truly, they believed beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was going to heal them. God was going to touch them because of what they were doing. And Jesus was so impressed with the faith of this individual that instantly he forgave his sins. But then he said, whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way in thy house. And he was completely healed. I guess what God is saying is, I'm looking for somebody to tear off the roof tonight. I'm looking for somebody not to just have a little, Jesus, but get to the place where I am so serious. I believe that God is going to, I'm going to cry out. I'm going to stretch myself out. I know, God, that you can do it. Faith by action. Glory to God. Genesis chapter 22. We have a story. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We have the story where God told Abraham to offer his son. Verse number 9 says, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Now I know because of the action that you have taken. Oh, Jesus. You see, we don't get faith. It is an unction of God that comes on us and says, okay, now. I believe it's a response to some unction that we have within us, that God is going to do it. He's not going to wait for another day. He's not going to wait for another night. Hallelujah. When we mix the word with faith, it's alive in us. And we will see the experience of the supernatural. And God wants to do the supernatural in our midst. Hallelujah. The word goes forth and we increase in faith. And then we increase in action. Hallelujah. Faith has to be awakened in us. And then something has to happen. My God, my God. Do what only you can do tonight, oh God. Touch as only you can. Faith without works is dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's our perception that becomes our practice. God, you know what I can do. You know, God, you know that I believe. I'm trusting in you tonight, oh God. It's our belief that becomes behavior. Hallelujah. Will you receive it tonight? Will you get it tonight? Would you put your faith in action tonight? Will this be the night that it happens? Oh God, help our unbelief, oh God. Help our unbelief, oh God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Horia Ramashatarabasadarabaha. Thank you, my God. Thank you, my God. I believe you. I believe you, Lord. My God, my God, my God. Tonight, Lord. Tonight, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Touch it, God. Touch it, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, tonight, God. Tonight, God. Tonight, God. Lord, give us testimonies of what's going to happen this year. God, do what only you can do, my God. Jesus, Jesus. God, reach down and touch Sister White's son right now in Jesus' name, God. Lord, complete the work in Sister Berg's life, God, in Jesus' name. God, touch Brother Young right now, God. Lord, reach down and touch Sister Bailey right now, God. Help Courtney right now, God. Jesus, Sister Painter right now, Lord. My God. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh God. Jesus. My God. Have your way, Lord. Oh God, tonight, Lord. Jesus, not another day. Thank you, God. Jesus.